Yes, we do. We hunger after righteousness. We hunger and we thirst after the Lord. And, you know, I'm just, again, very honored and very thankful to bring the Word of God here again. And, you know, I looked at the news this past week, and unfortunately we had a very disturbing, bizarre situation. There was a 18-year-old in New Mexico, I believe, that she was pregnant, had an abortion, and she was caught taking the baby who was in a trash bag. Unfortunately, he was alive, which was a boy, and threw it in a dumpster. It was in the news. I don't know if you heard about that or not this past week, but the people are troubled. They're confused. They need somebody. They need a savior, you know? I'm not going to go ahead and take pot shots at her, because how many young people are confused today? Amen. You know, pray as I work with, try to work with the superintendent, the new one coming up here next month, that at least we can get a Bible study started there at the school, you know. Pray that the young people will come closer to Christ. They need that. They need that relationship. They need the Lord. And so, you know, now she's up for murder charges or whatever, you know, and her life is almost ruined, but she can be forgiven. And, you know, we need to pray for her. I don't know what her name is, but there are a lot of confused people out there today that need the Lord. A lot of people that are hurt, that hurt themselves, and they're looking, but they're all looking in the wrong place. And so, you know, as we, what Paul had read here, this verse has so much in it, and we're going to be looking at other verses here this morning as well. You know, as what was read in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach. That means a disgrace to any people. You know, when we look at a godly nation, we can see God's blessing and God just, you know, doing something, but it costs the people something. It's like I've told people this over and over again, and I will keep on telling them this: for our freedom, we have to fight for our freedom. You know, you just can't sit back. History will tell us that, you know, and this history repeats itself. There's a bondage over the history of different places under different peoples. Then all of a sudden there's a spiritual faith. There is a revival that happens, and people being under bondage. And then there's courage. You know what? We'll stand up and do what's right. We'll fight back. You know, we'll pray. We'll tell people about the Lord. We will do something instead of being complacent. And then there's liberty after the courage. There's liberty. And, you know, we're so thankful for our country. We are a very unique people. For anybody who's lived overseas or visited overseas, we have a lot to be thankful for in this country. But let me go on here. Then after liberty, there's abundance. The people have lots of things, you know. They have houses, cars, nothing wrong with that, nothing at all. But it's how you don't idolize it. An idol is anything that you put before God. But God first, others second, yourself last, then God will lift you up. Humble yourselves, ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift us up. Then after abundance, where we're going with this nation now, listen to me, it's complacency. Complacency. Oh, okay, I have arrived. Let me tell you, none of us has arrived. We never will. We know that. We're just lying to ourselves, and we're lying to those around us. There comes that complacency, but I'm not done yet. Then there's apathy, lack of concern. And we've seen this in the past 20, 30 years. This generation and other generations, people have come up, lack of concern. I don't care. You know, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't hurt me at all. Why should I care? I got everything I need. I don't need you. I don't need whatever there is. And, you know, people won't tell you that. And then here comes where we're at today, dependence, the eighth area, dependence, being dependent on things, welfare programs and free giveaways and everything else. And then it's back into bondage, going right back in that cycle again. So we started off with bondage. Then number two, there's spiritual faith and courage. Number four, then there's liberty. And then number five, there's abundance because God blesses. And then there's number six, there's complacency. And then there's seven, there's lack of concern or apathy. And number eight, there's dependence. And then number nine is back into bondage. So we're fighting against that now. We don't want to go back into bondage. That is, you know, dependence. And then, you know, nothing's for free, right? We all know that. We're just laughing to ourselves. Are you kidding me? You know, if you have a credit card, you got to pay it back, right? If you say something, you better back up what you say. If you say something behind somebody's back, you better, you know, stand up and have the backbone and say, yeah, I said that, you know, and I meant what I say, you know. So Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. It is a disgrace. Sin is a disgrace. And as we look at coming up a Roe versus Wade, this is where I'm going with this. Say, you know, why this one verse, Pastor? Why, you know, are we looking at here? It's the sin is a reproach. Do you realize this? And a lot of us don't. Is that there's been 80 million abortions that have been done here in USA since Roe versus Wade, 49 years ago. 80 million. Adolf Hitler, in his craziness, there was 10 million people that were killed. And then Joseph Stalin, there was 20 million people killed under his regime. You know, you figure just a few people can call the shots and everybody else suffers big time. But this for our nation, because of what happens with abortion, I know that's very sensitive. I don't think too much of a guy who walks away from a young lady after they have intercourse and say, you know what, I'm done. You know, I don't need you anymore. I've met people like that, and it's disgusting and it's a disgrace. And they don't want anything to do with the kid. And the poor mother is there all by herself. And yeah, you know, it's what happens with a lot of confusion, a lot of misrepresentation about life in itself. But yet there should always be forgiveness. And there should be love and compassion and say, yes, I am going to work with this person to help this person out. And so Roe versus Wade has been around since January 22nd, 1973. You know, it's be almost 50 years next year. We're going to look at here this morning. We're going to see that history repeats itself in facts. I already mentioned the nine areas here. Bondage, spiritual faith, courage, liberty, abundance, complacency, apathy, dependence, and back to bondage. But now, you know, we're going to look at a little bit of history here and seeing why we are here where we are now. Because this is very important for our country. This is so important, you know. With the Roman Empire going back, there was a family breakdown, from what historians told us, a family breakdown. We have that today, where people take God out of the picture. You want to know why we're in a mess today? Because God's not there anymore. You know, it's as simple as that. 1 + 1 = 2. And you had women who had to work because, you know, the provider, the man, wasn't providing for his family. Okay? And because of other sundries reasons. And there are many reasons why. Then three, we see abortion became widespread, where it became an inconvenience. Not that they hated the child, it's that they didn't have time for it. They didn't have time for it. You know, it was not convenient for them. Then fourthly, the erosion of the population happened in the Roman Empire. There were less less people like there are today in the United States because of abortions. In China, it's the girls that will get aborted. They can keep the boys because, you know, they could serve in the military. They could work. They can make this to give, you know, make it better for the state. Because in communism, it's all about the state and it's about the elites. I get tired of people using that word elites. They're socialists, is what they are. okay? And they have a philosophy, but they will lie to you every time and call it something else. And I really get tired of it, you know? They're communist. And so, and then eventually what happened was is that, you know, in our society today, we have forgotten about God. God's not there anymore. He hasn't been there in a long time. And, you know, when we go back to abortion, some more statistics here about facts. In 1959, the UN decided that each child had the right to be protected. Believe it or not, okay? 1963, Planned Parenthood was against abortion. Really? But was against abortion, but changed its mind by 1968. The decision was up to the mother and the physician. So, times change. People change. You take God out of the equation, guess what? We become godless. And then Norma McCovery, 1973, from Roe versus Wade, 49 years later, and became a born-again Christian, or 47 years ago, excuse me, and suffered from the post-abortion trauma. She came to know the Lord, but she had to live with that. And I know of a lady who, for years, I knew her in church, one church that we went to, and I never knew she had an abortion. And finally, one day she broke down. She told my wife and I had an abortion. Can God ever forgive me? I said, absolutely. He can. Will I ever see my baby again? I said, that's between you and the Lord. I believe that you will. I don't believe aborted babies go to hell. I don't believe that at all. I believe they're in heaven right now. I do. Because they are living beings. And so there are people who cannot forgive themselves who have been through that. And only a woman, hear this, guys, only a woman could understand that. Guys can't. We can't. There's just no way. That is just totally wrong. It's a lie if we think we understand. Say, oh, I understand. No, we don't. As the saying goes, I can only imagine. You know, I don't know. But for women, we need to be more supportive to women. And so we see here that history repeats itself, and some facts here. Number two, in my home state of Maryland, which is up to now, the same day before birth, you can have an abortion, right up to the right before the same day of your birth. The child can be aborted because she is a girl and with her parents wanted a boy, or vice versa. So that could be either way there too as well. So again, it's convenience. It's pretty selfish, but I'm not there to judge people. They have to stand before the Lord and give an account. It's the baby that I'm thinking about. Three, the child can be killed because abortion was the parent's method of birth control. So that's another reason. Number four, a child can be aborted without his mother or father knowing she ever existed. So, you know, without the parents knowing, you know, if a girl is living at home with her parents, they don't have to know, you know, their daughter. And then also a child can be killed in the storefront clinic by doctors absolved from all criminal responsibility. So it's not going to be the doctors who are in trouble for this. And say, you know, why am I saying this? Because 80 million babies, wonder why we're in the mess we're in. I'm thinking partly because of God's judgment. It's because, one, Christians, I'm not pointing the finger at us here today, aren't living right for the Lord. Number two, we have this abortion mill going on. And, you know, as a country, as a whole, God will judge the country. God judges the country. I want us to turn over here to Psalms. Psalms 139, verses 13 through 18. 139, 13 through 18. And this is one of the verses, or verses five of them, that I just love to tell, to share with. In Psalms 139, verses 13 and 18, we see here, we're going to look at verse 13. It says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." It has the idea that God has known you and I since the beginning of time. God had made us in that womb, in that precious womb. You know, when Kimberly had her, was having my first, our first baby, Jasmine, I could hear the heartbeat. I could hear, well, not the heartbeat, excuse me, you can't do that. It's the feet kicking around, you know. You could hear that. It was precious. Okay, verse 14. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." We are fearfully created in God's image. And that's one of the things that our adversary hates, because we're made, has the idea of an imprint in God's image. Okay? We are all created that way. And, you know, there's not one person here exactly the same, not even with twins. You know, you might have a lot of that looks a lot the same, but they're not exactly the same. You have, there's no two trees out there the same, not two birds the same. They might be from the same species, but they're different. And so it says here, verse 15, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." That means before the beginning of time, God knew who we were going to be. God foreordained it so his plan of salvation is his greatness would be shown to sinners. People would say, I'm sure, well, what if this happened or that happened? Well, we're looking at God's love, God's grace, God's magnificent creation. Verse 16 says, "And eyes did see my substance." That means the body. "Yet being unperfect." That means not matured all the way yet. "And in thy book, all my members were written." It has the idea of your DNA. Your DNA was made. Each one of us has a DNA. They're made specifically how we are created, "which in countenance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." Verse 17, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great are the sum of them." How precious it is. God loves us so much that he even gave his son to die on the cross for our sins. And for everybody, billions and billions of people, they can know Jesus Christ by faith through grace. Verse 18, "If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." Isn't that wonderful? This morning we woke up, didn't matter which side of the bed we were on. But God knew who we were. He knew our whole makeup. He understood, like the sands of the sea, which is innumerable, but we cannot count, that he loves us. He knows everything about us, even the little hairs on our head, or back of our hands, or whatever. So God loves us. And do you know about the human body? Laid end to end, an adult's blood vessels could circle the earth equator four times. Four times. The word muscle, from the Latin term meaning little mouse, which is what ancient Romans thought flexed bicep muscles represented. So, you know, some of the guys would like to have, you know, maybe rat-sized muscles right there with these little muscles, you know, whatever. So much for that. Information zooms along nerves about 400 miles an hour. Information. Can you imagine that? It zooms along about 400 miles an hour. Just, you know, stub your toes, be thankful for our nerves. And the human heart beats more than 3 billion times in the average lifespan. And, you know, I could just go on and on. But getting back to the baby, and this is important. An 8-week-old developing baby, the heartbeat can be heard on an office ultrasonic stethoscope. Number two, the heart has been beating for 1 month. The EKG, the electrocardiogram, can be done. Number four, brain waves were measurable 2 weeks ago. Number five, the baby feels pain at 8 weeks. and responds to touch. Number six, it sucks its thumb. I think that's cute. Number seven, it grasps an instrument placed in her hand or palm. Number eight, swims with a natural swimmer stroke. It's kind of neat, you know. Never know what you're going to have. After 2.5 months, the body is completely formed, even fingerprints. And then number 10, 3 months later, all organ systems functioning. And number 11, after 3 months, nothing new develops or functions. There is only growth in size and maturity. So when somebody says it's just a blob, it doesn't function like a person, they're lying. That's all I have to say, because the facts speak the truth. And no doctor can lie to you, because I don't care how many letters they have behind their name, they're just lying to you. It's as simple as that. And so looking at this, what can Christians do? What can we do for these little babies, or for mothers, or even for the guys who are responsible for impregnating a young lady or older lady? And Christians should go out and remind people about the sanctity of human life, born and unborn. Support your local candidate who for office, who will work for legislation on human life. Number three, oppose the giving and of giving federal, state, and local tax money, like Planned Parenthood, which they get over $300 million a year from the federal government. And then we see try to minister to and counsel unwed mothers who are statistically are under 25 years of age, which most abortions happen in that age group there. And then also to try to adopt children. And, you know, unwanted children. And sometimes those babies have to be given for adoption, not because they're not wanted, it's because of circumstances. And some of the most horrible stories I've heard, that people would be better off just giving away for adoption than living with drug addicts or alcoholics or just whatever. The family situation's bad. So the state has to come in and take these babies away, or abuse. There's all forms of very heinous, terrible things that go on to protect the baby. And then also, too, if you, what can Christians do if you want to go down to a clinic and protest? Try to rally different people around. You realize where I tried it for 3 years, we had to go with an organization. There were different churches from around town. And so we'd all meet in a separate place. We weren't concerned about what denomination you were. We were trying to stop abortions in the community, because this one church, singling out one church by itself, doesn't work sometimes. You need a whole group of people. At least they're getting something done. And, you know, we went out there about 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays. We would sing songs. We would have signs. But we would obey the rules. People will drive by and beep their horn and wave to us. Other people drive by and give you that hand gesture and smile at you and drive away. And then also you need to do everything that you're supposed to. Be polite to people. You know, don't try to preach them. You know, we'd see these women come in, and, you know, I just prayed. I did, you know. And sometimes it's better to have women dealing with women. I really believe that, because they understand. Guys, we don't sometimes. We just don't. And so the results, we were excited about this, because we had at least three women who said that they would not get an abortion. And we were very thankful of all the women that came in. And so and the big thing was is that we were letting them know that they were forgiven. We were forgiven, you know. And these women that who stopped getting abortions, two of them accepted Christ as Savior and went ahead and had their babies anyway. But that took a lot of guts, and especially on their own, too. Of course, the guy just left her, I don't think too much of guys when they do that. I think they're not as low as you can get, you know. But, you know, these ladies made something of their lives. And one of them got married later on. And, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. She was never married. She didn't end up getting married. And the other one ended up living with her mom. And so, but what is the latest news today? What is the latest news? Well, just for example, what biggest thing people have been asking me, do vaccines contain aborted fetal tissue with the Omicron and with the COVID-19? And I've heard different stories, so I looked it up. And they all say about the same thing. You get about 10 sources, and then you go and you make sure that they all jive with each other. It says here, do vaccines contain aborted fetal tissue? Several common vaccines, and this is from Lisa Joe Rudy. Several common vaccines are made by growing viruses in fetal embryo cells. These cells originally came from tissue obtained from two fetuses that were legally aborted in the early 60s. The same cells have continued to grow in a laboratory and are still used to make many vaccines today. No additional cells have been harvested from aborted fetuses since then, because there was one nurse, who's a friend right across the street. She says, oh, my goodness. She goes, I got that COVID vaccine. I heard it was made from fetal parts and this and that. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I said, never heard of that. So then, and then it says no additional cells have been harvested from aborted fetuses since then. So it's not true. But the topic is controversial because, well, of where the original cells came from. So there's a lot of controversy. And that's something that I have to address today. I really don't know. Okay? That is for us to be accountable to God too and talk to God about. Okay? As a pastor here, all I can say is that, well, this is what the medical people tell me. Okay? And if you do enough research, if you look and Google it or however you want to do it, okay. Also, another latest issue coming up with the Roe versus Wade in Mississippi, you could get abortions starting at 15 weeks. In Texas, it was 6 weeks. And they were saying there's a law, you cannot get an abortion after those weeks. So Mississippi, it was 15 weeks, Texas, 6 weeks. And where are they going with this Supreme Court decision? Well, coming up, it's either in June or July, they're going to tell us that and they're going to be leaning more to this from what the Justice Department, but the Supreme Court has to say. They're going to say they're going to pretty much lead it into the states. Each state is going to make their own choice what they're going to do because they really don't want to change Roe versus Wade. And that's the bottom line because there's going to be too many problems. It's going on for 49 years now, unfortunately. Now, if they do change it, there's still a possibility that they could change it, but most people who have read into this don't think that they will because everything is political. It's political. If it's not the schools and it's something else and something else. So, you know, we need to be praying for our Supreme Court, you know. And there are a lot of changes going in our country right now. And so we need to be praying. We need to be praying for the abortion issue about what's going on. So also too, with the latest news this past year, I like what the South Dakota governor did. She put into law to prohibit abortions based on diagnosis of Down syndrome and the practice by which the UN and Planned Parenthood support it. So I like her. I like that lady there. Have you ever seen her talk or whatever? She's a gutsy woman. And she's just like, oh, no, we're not going to do this, you know. And she's staying away from the feds and everything they're trying to promote. Then we see also, too, this past election, there were 13 new pro-life women elected to the U.S. House of Representatives. There's also another 26 that are retiring. We need to be praying that these House representatives, that people will go to the right, you know, I mean, the right way, which is God's word. Because sometimes people will go to the right but they're everything but the right, you know, because they won't tell you everything. They will lie to you. They will tell you everything you want to know, but their agenda is to so far to the left. And then also, too, we need to pray for Planned Parenthood. They gave $45 million to the Joe Biden campaign when he went into office. So these people are very political. Rapper Kanye West, you know about him in the news. He stated that 1,000 black babies a day are aborted. 1,000. And I can believe that because in the African-American culture that Kim and I worked for a number of years down south, a lot of the mothers don't know who the fathers are because they don't want to have the family there. They don't want to have the accountability. And you'd even have those that go to churches. We went to churches down there along the Mississippi Delta. That mindset, they think it's normal. Oh, we'll have babies, but, you know, the fathers, no, we don't know who they are, you know. And that's just the way they think. And you say, that doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't, because they've walked away from the Lord, or the men have walked away from the Lord. However it is, it's not my place to call judgment. It's God's place to call for it. We also have a Supreme Court, latest news, that is more conservative, 6-3. That's, you know, changed things a bit. But it doesn't necessarily mean some of these judges call themselves conservative, but they lean to the left. Or they like to be right down the middle so they please everybody, you know. So some of them who have been elected as conservatives, they're leaning to the left now because they don't want to disrupt things. Remember, I was on a school board there in Colorado. And I'll never forget, the Lord reminded me of this the other day, you know, why they didn't want my son to pray, me to pray during his graduation is because of one person, one parent didn't want me to. But they didn't want to have to deal with lawyers and problems and this and that. And that taught me something then, because you get some people today, they'll give up their convictions just for convenience because they're just like, why do I want to mess with this? Why? So, can God forgive abortions? Yes, he can. Absolutely. Do we sin? Are we sinners? Yes, we are. Is abortion the unpardonable sin? No, it's not. Blaspheming against God, speaking evil of God, and doing God's name and saying, I'm doing this and that, and living a different lifestyle which is not of the Lord, that's blaspheming God. And that's blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. So, looking at what we have here, we looked at number one is the history of facts repeat itself. We start off with that bondage, and we get right back to where we're supposed to be, and we end right back up in bondage. That's where we are now, pretty much as a nation. Number two, there are some states that you can abort up to the very day before the baby's due. And in some instances, I heard that you can abort the very same day, too. And then, of course, you know, looking at it, we're fearfully and wonderfully made in Psalms 139, 13 through 18. And then fourthly, what can we do? We pray. We need to get out there. We need to tell people and share Christ. Let me tell you something. For somebody who's got to go through it, who's been through it, it's a very personal thing. It's a very sensitive subject. And we've got to be very, very careful how we talk to a young lady or a young man who's been responsible for it. And how do we do that? Number one is through God's love. Love covers a multitude of sins. And number two, we need to listen to what they have to say. And number three, we have to share them God's forgiveness. God forgives every sin. There's no sin worse than the other. And then, you know, I remember a guy who was in for two murders in jail ministry I was with, and he says, are you kidding me? Can God, you know, forgive me of committing two murders? I said, absolutely. I shared scripture verses with him, and he got saved, accepted Christ into his heart. And then I was able to baptize him afterwards there in the prison ministry. And a real big guy, you know. He goes, I don't know why. He goes, I just wasn't thinking. I was angry. And I said, you got to get that under control. And then also we see not only what can Christians do, but the latest news. So we need to be praying for our Supreme Court coming up. We're going to make some big decisions coming up in June and July. And then we need to also be praying for different ethnic groups that have a lot of abortions, because there's a lot of confusion and there's a lot of hurt and there's a lot of misery. And so we need to just grab hold of these people and share the love of Christ and tell them that God loves them and there is no sin that God cannot forgive. So is that, with that encouragement, I believe that God laid that on my heart to share here this morning, because time goes by so quick, like the pages in a good book that we read. They go by quickly, and before we know it, we're done with the book. And God wants us in our books, in our lives, is to make different marks on those pages of our life and to share what we can read back on, what we've done that day for the Lord, praying, you know, and getting out there and witnessing and just living the life, living it. People want us to see us to live it, you know. And remember, there's to forgive people. Forgive them. Because for those who don't forgive, they end up in bondage. They end up in little cages in their mind. And they become angry and frustrated. We forgive, you can get out of that cage. We can get out and be set free, knowing the truth, and the truth will set us free. We'll be strong and bold in the Lord Jesus Christ. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and close in a word of prayer here. Lord, this topic, Lord, just blows my mind. It does, looking at all the babies that have been aborted in this country. Lord, you know you've forgiven every one of those abortions. We know that those babies are in heaven. We know, God, that because they haven't come to the age of accountability. And Lord, sin is a very ugly thing. Sin is horrible. And it takes two to tango, like the saying goes. We pray, Lord, there'll be forgiveness with the man and the woman who does this and then gets rid of the baby. Lord, I just pray too that the cloning that they're doing right now in China, that it will stop, because they want to make a super race. They're doing all kinds of things through cloning, Lord, that is just wrong. And through animal parts and baby parts. And, you know, Lord, we just ask you, God, that you would just come back quickly. We pray that you do come back quickly. We look forward to that. And through the Spirit, Lord, we just pray, God, that an opportunity may come up this year that we can witness to somebody and tell them about God's loving grace in this perverted, ungodly generation or generations we live in. Lord, that people can come to know you before it's too late. And thank you for your blood that was shed on us for our sins. And you dying on the cross, and that we have a resurrection to look forward to. And Lord, we just pray that keep ourselves attentive to love, to share with people. In your name we pray, amen.